Welcome to Federal Insights for April, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing enterprise modernization, sponsored by GDIT.
Welcome and thanks for joining us. My guests today are Major General Mike Schmidt. He's the Program Executive Officer for Command, Control, Communications, Intelligence, and Networks for the Air Force. And Colonel Bobby King is the Senior Materiel Leader for the Enterprise IT and Cyber Infrastructure Division of the Air Force. Gentlemen, good to have you both with us. And our topic is going to be managed services, how you use them and so on, and what your priorities there are. But maybe let's begin with an overview of this PEO, what it covers, what some of your top priorities and projects are right now to kind of set the scene for what you're up to.
Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. So, thanks for doing this. Really, really appreciate it, Tom. PEO C3IN is quite a diverse portfolio, a broad portfolio. Of course, Colonel Bobby King has a huge portfolio in terms of all of the IT infrastructure, especially on the collateral side, to include everything from legacy and modern transport of data, to include our cloud services, to include our theater deployable communications. But we also have three other broad divisions, actually, and broken into subdivisions as well. One of them being our cyber and crypto division, mostly based in San Antonio. So think all things offensive and defensive cyber and crypto, which is so important for us to stay ahead of that, and frankly ahead of our adversaries in that area. We also have our aerial networking branch, and think about all things aerial networking. At really all security levels. I would say we are really trying to bring back being the aerial networking center of excellence here. I would say in the 90s, we kind of pushed that off to our defense contractors, and we lost a little bit of that centralized enterprise view of all of our aerial networks. And I'm really proud of Colonel Shane Lewis and his team for really focusing on bringing that back to the Air Force. And then we have our special projects division. So of course, I can't talk a lot about what they do, but they have a very, very broad portfolio to include SAP Enterprise IT as a service. And we're trying to leverage a lot of things that Colonel King is doing and what we're trying to do from a business process standpoint in taking what we're learning on the collateral side over to the SAP side to get to our next generation set of SAP IT capabilities. And that's just a rough overview of the portfolio, but it's a great one and very interesting, and with about 2,600 fantastic people across the country.
Yes, in my good old state of Massachusetts is where it's all headquartered. Nice to talk to you in that location. Colonel King, anything to add?
Sure. I'll go into a little bit more detail about the portfolio in the Enterprise IT and Cyber Infrastructure Division. General Schmidt touched on it some, but really kind of the focus that we have had is to bring together at the collateral and below security levels, the entire transactional path to connect airmen and guardians with the data they need to do their mission. And so that starts with the endpoint devices and all of the software and security tools that are on that, as well as the collaboration tools like Office 365 and others on that endpoint device, but through the base area networks, VPNs out and to the base boundaries to where we get to the services that DISA provides for long haul comm. And then out to where the data actually resides, and that's the cloud. So we have a Cloud One program that's most people are pretty familiar with in this space. And but we also have a couple of data centers as well at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, as well as Scott Air Force Base, where data resides as well. But data is all over the place, as you can imagine. And so we have to connect those airmen and guardians with the data wherever it resides.
All right. And it's pretty hard to talk about managed services without talking about infrastructure and maybe delve into a little bit of, you mentioned cloud and Cloud One, and those are well-known programs. I guess every DoD component in some way is dealing with cloud these days. And then you've got probably some data centers still in possession, plus clouds, plus service providers. So maybe give us a sense of the architectural approach to the infrastructure you're taking to support all of these activities, including crypto and data transport and data usage otherwise.
Yeah, I'll start out on that. if I could. So I tell people all the time, if you've seen one base from an IT perspective, you've seen one base from an IT perspective. And that's really where we've started here. We have funded our IT infrastructure with end of year funding, kind of piecemeal for years and years and years. And that is what we, especially Colonel King and his team, are really trying to get after from an IT infrastructure standpoint. We want an enterprise capability that we understand to all of the endpoints, so that one base looks like the rest of the bases from an IT infrastructure perspective, such that we can take advantage of the infrastructure or the efficiencies of understanding that. Having, in fact, we'll talk about it, I'm sure, today. Having an enterprise level help desk, not a help desk necessarily at every base that is different. And so there's a lot of things that we can do by pulling that IT infrastructure together, having a common infrastructure across all of our bases, and everything from security to user experience all benefit from getting to that goal. And in fact, I think we'll talk about it today, but that's why we've asked the best in the commercial industry to come to us and tell us, how would you go about doing that? And that's a lot of the work that's going on in enterprise IT as a service right now in the risk reduction effort.
And Colonel King, you're the man with the infrastructure.
Yes, absolutely. So, and you mentioned the cloud in the question, and cloud is where we are trying to go. In fact, we have an effort right now where many of the data centers that are operated throughout the Department of the Air Force, and I want to say Department of the Air Force because that includes the United States Space Force as well as United States Air Force, so we for Airmen and Guardians. And so, when you have so many different bases and organizations operating their own data centers with various degrees of cost and capabilities, we have an opportunity to be much more efficient and save the Department of the Air Force money to reinvest into a newer technology if we can consolidate a lot of the data that's out there in those data centers and the mission systems that are in the data centers and get those into the cloud. But it's more than just an efficiency thing and saving money. It's also makes the connectivity to that data much easier, and where Airmen and Guardians can reach it no matter where they are around the world.
All right, then let's get into the managed services idea, because you've mentioned a couple of times the enterprise approach. It's not just Hanscom Air Force Base you're concerned with, but the enterprise and in some sense, ultimately the department. So what is the strategy for managed services? How do you go about deciding this is the way to go here, either for a particular function or a particular service that might cross many domains within the Air Force Department?
I can start out on that one, Bobby. So a lot of what you're asking there, we are trying to learn during our enterprise IT as a service risk reduction effort. Certainly we have some SLAs on there relative to goals. I think we always have to be careful what we want to incentivize. So if we incentivize, the time to answer a call at a help desk, well, that's great if they meet those timelines. But if ultimately they have to get handed off to five people to get their problem resolved, then maybe we're not incentivizing the right thing. A lot of time we incentivize uptime, but for a user, what's most important is the system up when you need it to be up. And so sometimes we get lost a little bit, I think, in how we incentivize our contractors. And so we're during the risk reduction effort, we're being very careful not to necessarily link payments to contractors to those SLAs. Not that we're not holding them responsible for everything, because we are. But at the same time, we want them to tell us what SLAs they think we should use. And so ultimately, as we move into production and really try to incentivize financially the contractors, that we're confident that we have the right SLAs that we are putting on the contract. And I will add one other point that is really challenging in this space. And it's the reason that, as I mentioned before, if you've seen one base, is because our financial stability in this space, in our IT space across the department, just with all other competing priorities, that stability is not always there. And so we do need to be conscious that the contracting vehicles and the SLAs, the service level agreements that we put into place, are flexible enough, either from an SLA standpoint or from a contractual standpoint, such that if our funding is not exactly where we think it's going to be in a given year, that doesn't put the government in a position of having to pay for something that we really didn't get or couldn't afford to pay for the whole service, or just kind of lead us down in a different path. So that is an extra challenge for Colonel King and team, and for me, is making sure that we have the flexibility to adjust to the funding within the department.
Yeah, so it sounds like some of the SLAs that you mentioned, some of the performance metrics are almost table stakes that would be expected. And then there are others where you want to make sure that you really understand deeply that is where you give incentive to the service providers. Is that a good way to put it?
I would say yes. And I should have also mentioned that, you know, some of the most important SLAs are subjective, and that is really a challenging thing to deal with from a contractual standpoint. So, you know, user experience measured by, you know, user satisfaction, to me, is the most important metric out there. But that is a hard one to contractually incentivize. You can put it on there, that over time, user experience based on very specific surveys has to improve and that kind of thing. But again, that's subjective, obviously, the nature of the person who's filling out the survey. But again, to me, that's the challenge space that we're working in right now in this risk reduction effort. Because truly the two things that I care the most about are the security of our data and the user experience and mission effectiveness of our airmen and guardians out there.
All right. So then, Colonel King, does that raise the suggestion that looks like among those managed services for which you're looking to reduce risk would be one help desk? That gets right to user experience in a very big way, especially in the past year when a lot of new tools have been deployed widely because of the pandemic and the requirement for telework. And then maybe security would be something behind that.
Yes, absolutely. And as General Schmidt mentioned, we have in the risk reduction experiment tracked those metrics for the help desk. And we have discovered and learned in that process. And what I'll say is we embarked on that risk reduction effort. Now, we had done a couple of contracts prior to that with SLAs in it, but they were very top level and pretty basic. And we really wanted to delve into some more details and learn about that. So, and some of the challenges, as you can imagine, are for an enterprise as large as the Department of the Air Force, and we're pushing data around the world 24/7. We have many mission partners that provide those services. So I mentioned DISA earlier, that's one of them, but we also have our Air Force network. And so if we have Microsoft providing Office 365, it depends on that infrastructure, you mentioned that earlier, to be there and be able to push the data through for that to work and get to that end user experience and mission performance that General Schmidt mentioned. And so if there is an issue, we have to do some very detailed troubleshooting to find out exactly where it is, because if it's within the Air Force network or in DISA, we're not going to penalize the service provider for that. But if it is within theirs and we find that, that's when the penalties come into play.
So are you using managed service providers for anything at this point, or is it all just investigational?
Yeah. So we have two contracts that are actually have that, but as I mentioned, they're very top level. So with our Office 365 implementation in the Air Force, as well as Cloud One.
And how does Cloud One work exactly as a program, as a managed service?
Yeah. So the contract is with SAIC, and of course they bring in the cloud service providers. Right now, that's Microsoft Azure, as well as AWS, and then the availability time or the uptime, as General Smith mentioned earlier, is tracked, and we have specific metrics. I'm not going to mention the specific metrics and percentages in this broadcast, but that if they violate that, then they have violated their SLA, and there's penalties for that.
Got it. Okay. And they're tied together then, the services that are delivered to users, say under the Microsoft Office 365, but that is ultimately cloud hosted, so that you've got the cloud component management also, kind of a complex of things that are, one, the IT staff to worry about, and then two, that actually face users throughout the Air Force.
Yes. And that was the first two that we had in the Air Force, and we learned some from that, but need to investigate further in the risk reduction effort to really get after what you mentioned, the help desk and the endpoint device pieces of that. But we obviously, the networks as well, we're getting after that as well within the risk reduction effort and trying to learn more about that before we enter into contracts with Enterprise IT as a Service that will scale to the entire Department of Air Force.
Yeah, I wanted to ask more about the networks, because that's still the fundamental capability that ties all of this stuff together. And Major General Schmidt mentioned earlier on, there's aerial networks, and I imagine that involves, say, flying platforms up to the satellites and down and back, and perhaps also to the ground and back. Then you've got the day-to-day ground networks, and that's a complex of Air Force assets, commercial assets, and DISA assets. So how do you get a handle on that pursuant to getting some rational way to maybe manage it in the future?
Yeah, I can start out on that. So certainly what you described a lot right in there. So separate of this conversation or where I think we're going in this conversation, you know, the Air Force has a huge effort underway relative to our ABMS and Joint All Domain Command and Control capabilities, trying to tie all of those things together and a lot of exciting things going on there. But relative to our, let's say our IT infrastructure and back to that and those networks, and you just described a couple of the stakeholders there, but there are many. And you know, as we go to these commercial suppliers in relative to our networks in our enterprise IT as a service risk reduction efforts, So Microsoft and AT&T are our two primary contractors relative to this risk reduction effort. So if you think about it, we are asking them to bring their best commercial technology to us. At the same time, we have a healthy tension, honestly, between speed, security, and user experience or mission performance. And we are proving that we are pretty risk averse, honestly, as a department, along those lines, and for good reason. I mean, our data and our security is number one, but that is a real day-to-day challenge for Colonel King and his team and our industry partners, because we don't want them just to replace what we have. We could have done that, completely different and ended up with the same user experience that we have today. We want them to bring those commercial technologies, but when we try to hold them accountable for, let's just say, throughput, or user experience, or connecting us to things we haven't connected before, or bringing your latest and greatest commercial technology, others have a vote in how those things connect to our IT, our infrastructure with all those other stakeholders. So that is a big challenge within Network as a Service, which is part of the Enterprise IT as a Service, one of the lines of effort. But it's also really an exciting part there, because we are really having conversations with all of those stakeholders that I don't think anyone ever had before. And that really is exciting, but I can't tell you exactly what right's going to look like here until we get through this risk reduction effort and let all those people have those really hard conversations about how much control are we willing to hand off to a commercial partner versus manage it 100% ourselves. And I will throw out one other thing as we move to these service level agreements, really this partnership with industry as a service is we honestly want our airmen and our guardians to really only do the things that airmen and guardians need to do. And right now we have a lot of airmen and guardians doing things that contractors can do very well, which is why we are out there doing enterprise IT as a service you know, and whether it's the networks or the end user services or the compute and store, we have a lot of airmen and guardians that their day-to-day job is to get right in the middle of some of that stuff, you know, getting laptops imaged, giving them out to our people, you know, dealing with the day-to-day networks, where we'd rather have them turn into defense of our networks or defense of our other systems or maintenance of any of our other systems. We only have so many airmen and guardians to go around, and there's a huge opportunity here to partner with industry as we move forward and really, again, have airmen and guardians doing only the things that airmen and guardians can do.
Yeah, it might be a good time to maybe discuss some of the elements of the risk reduction effort itself. How do you go about that, Colonel King?
Sure. So, you know, we started this program, I guess it was 2000. We started talking about it in 2017, late 2017. But it really got underway in 2018 as far as figuring out how do we take this huge elephant and break it into manageable chunks so that we can get after it. And so the premise was, as we looked at the entire requirement set, that we needed to break it up. And so what we did was we broke it up into three chunks, if you will. We call them lines of effort. And the first one, and General Smith mentioned all of them, but the first one is network as a service. So we awarded two OTAs, and one to Microsoft and one to AT&T in the very last week of fiscal year 2018. So the majority of that work kicked off in fiscal year 2019 with those two OTAs. And they were asked to provide unique commercial solutions at a few bases, eight bases. We've broken up between the two vendors there, vendor partners. And so they brought the solution that was commercial to us, as commercial as it could be within the infrastructure. So one of the things that we had to be able to do, and Joe Smith kind of talked about this, is you know, security is very important to the DoD. And so we have to be able to connect with the DoDIN. And so we interact very much with DISA and NSA and Cyber Command in order to make that connection. And so they have to be confident that everything is secure. And so there's been many, many conversations, and the relationship has really grown over the last couple of years with those organizations and the Department of Air Force.
Let me thank today's guest, Major General Mike Schmidt, as the Program Executive Officer for Command, Control, Communications, Intelligence, and Networks at the Air Force, and Colonel Bobby King is the Senior Materiel Leader for the Enterprise IT and Cyber Infrastructure Division of the Air Force. I'm your moderator, Tom Temin, and you've been listening to Federal News Network. For more on this discussion, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search GDIT.
Thank you for listening to Federal Insights for April, part of the Digital Modernization Series discussing enterprise modernization, sponsored by GDIT on Federal News Network.
We depend on IT every day to connect. This requires technology and practices that are constantly evolving to overcome changing demands. General Dynamics Information Technology accelerates the modernization of legacy IT environments and deploys advanced digital ecosystems, automation, managed services, software-defined networking, 5G IT infrastructure. GDIT modernizes the entire IT enterprise to power agency missions. GDIT, accelerate the power of modernization. Learn more at federalnewsnetwork.com, search digital modernization.